Please turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and we want to read verses 16 and 17. This particular psalm was written by David. We referred to these verses this morning, but we want to read them to introduce our lesson for this evening. Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. This morning we studied a number of verses from the Lord's Word that teach us the truth about prayer. Remember, Jesus said that in order to be his disciples, we must continue in his word. If we will continue in his word, we will know the truth. It's very important that we know the truth because it is the truth that sets us free. So to know the truth on any subject, we need to continue in the Lord's word. Well, this morning we place special emphasis on passages that teach us what we need to know about prayer. And this evening we want to base our lesson on these statements written by David in the long ago. And notice that David said he prayed evening and morning and at noon. In other words, there were certain times that David had set aside for talking to God through prayer. What we want to do is point out from the Bible some times or occasions for prayer. And the approach that we want to make is that we want to look at occasions when Jesus prayed, and then we want to look at some occasions when the Lord's followers prayed in the book of Acts. Perhaps that will help us to be mindful of how important it is that we talk to God through prayer at all times. We want to look at some occasions when Jesus prayed, and then we want to look at some occasions when members of the early church prayed. I thought the song that we just sang would go along with our lesson. Did you think to pray? Did you notice that song mentions a number of occasions when we need to pray? It especially touches me when it says, when your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Now, we might be tempted to lash out at somebody when they're angry at us or don't treat us properly. But that song teaches a good lesson, and I believe it's backed up by Scripture. That's a good time to talk to God through prayer. Well, there are many times when we need to remember to talk to God through prayer, and perhaps by looking at these different occasions when the Lord prayed and when his followers prayed, that will at least remind us of how important it is that we always rely upon God through prayer. Let's begin by looking at some occasions when Jesus prayed. Now, these are not all of the occasions when Jesus prayed. I assure you of that. But we want to look at the book of Luke. It just seems to me that in his gospel, Luke placed special emphasis on the Lord's prayer life. And, of course, any study of the Lord's prayer would include John 17. We won't have the time this evening to look at that prayer. We've studied it on other occasions. But we want to notice occasions when Jesus prayed. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. We will notice that Jesus prayed when he was baptized. Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Here Luke tells us that when Jesus was baptized, he prayed. What a wonderful example our Lord set before us. Chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Jesus prayed in a secluded place after he had been teaching and healing great multitudes of people. Our Lord had been very busy. He had done much in his ministry, but he took the time to pray afterward. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus had been teaching people, he had been healing people, but after reaching great multitudes of people, he took the time to pray. And this ought to help us understand also our Lord's instruction where he said, when you pray, go into your closet. Does that literally mean that the Lord wants us to go into that particular part of our home to be able to talk to God through prayer? No, he was teaching us to go to a secluded area. That's exactly what he did on this occasion. Jesus got away from the crowds. He went out into the wilderness, into a solitary area, and there he prayed. Chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. We would do well to pay careful attention to what Jesus did. He prayed, and he prayed all night before he selected his apostles. That is, he was going to make a very important decision. Chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Jesus selected 12 men that he was going to make apostles. He had a special work for them to do. But before selecting them, Jesus spent the entire night in prayer unto God. And notice where he went. He went out into a mountain. Once again, that's a secluded area where he could pray and not be interrupted by anyone else. Chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. Jesus prayed after he fed the 5,000. Chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom do men say, or whom do the people say that I am? Jesus had fed that great crowd of people with just a small amount of food, but after doing so, he spent some time in prayer. You know, our Lord set a wonderful example. I've noticed over the years that when you are able to accomplish something, and if something important, you better be on guard, because Satan is going to try to destroy it. Jesus set a wonderful example after accomplishing these great works of spending time in prayer. Well, we need to follow his example. Chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, Jesus prayed when he was transfigured. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. That was a wonderful occasion when Jesus was transfigured. Peter, James, and John were present. There were two visitors on that occasion, Moses and Elijah. You know, over the years, I've heard people ridicule Peter because he seemed to have gotten rather excited. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, I'm not going to criticize Peter, because if I had been there and I saw the Lord and I saw Moses and Elijah, I just suspect I would have been rather excited too. Well, that was a wonderful occasion. But on that special occasion, God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." At one time, Moses served as God's spokesman. At one time, the prophet served as God's spokesman. Elijah was one of them. But now, God wants us to listen to his Son. So Jesus prayed when he was transfigured. Chapter 11 and verse 1. Jesus had been praying when his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. Chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Remember that John was the Lord's forerunner. He came to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. He did his work well. Apparently, he had taught his followers how to pray. And now the Lord's followers are wanting him to teach them how to pray. But notice that on that occasion, when that request was made of the Lord, he was praying himself. Luke chapter 22, let's look at verses 31 and 32. Jesus prayed for Peter. Now we're looking at occasions when Jesus prayed. He prayed all the time. He prayed under different circumstances, and he prayed for a variety of reasons. We're wanting to look at his example to remind us of occasions when we need to talk to God through prayer. But in chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, Jesus prayed for Peter. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." That statement's always been a concern to me. Jesus told Peter that Satan was after him. Remember, it was Peter who years later would write that the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I wonder where he learned that. Jesus told him on this occasion, "Satan's after you, Peter." But he didn't leave it at that. In verse 32, he said, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I've often wondered how many times Peter reflected upon that, knowing that Jesus said he was praying for him. What a great source of comfort. No doubt that was very encouraging to Peter. In chapter 22, beginning at verse 41, Jesus prayed before he was arrested. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." As we mentioned this morning, Jesus was under great stress and strain. And he spent some time talking to the Father through prayer before he was arrested. He knew what was about to happen. He both spoke about that on a number of occasions. But before Jesus was arrested, notice that he spent some time in prayer. Chapter 23, we want to notice that Jesus prayed while he was on the cross. If you study all four gospel accounts, you will see that Jesus made 7 different statements while he was on the cross. I've heard that sermon preached a number of times, and I've even preached it a few times myself. the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. Well, I want you to notice that these two verses in the book of Luke show that Jesus prayed while he was on the cross. Verse 34, this is in chapter 23. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was praying on behalf of those who were crucifying him. And then verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The very last thing that Jesus did before he passed away was talk to the Father through prayer. Can you think of a better way to pass away from this life? Jesus knew where he was going. He had told the thief today that he would be with him in paradise. But Jesus was commending his spirit to the care of his Father. Now, from these verses, and there are many others from the gospel accounts that we could read, indicate that prayer was important to our Lord. He spent a lot of time in prayer. But he prayed under all of these different circumstances, and he prayed on all these occasions. That ought to really get our attention and help us to remember to pray when we face similar circumstances. But now let's look at several occasions when the Lord's followers prayed. We want to look at the book of Acts. Let's first look at chapter 1, and we want to read verses 13 and 14. We will see that the Lord's followers prayed while they were waiting for the Lord to build his church. Now, he had said earlier that he would build his church. He had been crucified and he had been resurrected from the grave. He had been with his disciples for a period of 40 days. Then he ascended to be at the Father's right hand in heaven. But let's notice something that's stated about the Lord's followers. Chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where above both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. We learn from the next verse that there were about 120 disciples. A number of them are listed in these verses we just read. The remaining apostles, now by this time Judas has taken his life, there were 11 remaining. They were all with one accord. I want you to notice that the Lord's mother was there. I've always appreciated that. Mary, according to the Gospel of John, was present when Jesus was crucified. She observed everything that took place. You know, that would be hard on a mother. That would be extremely hard. Did she lose her faith in God? No. She's right there with the Lord's followers. What are they doing? They're continuing in prayer. Notice also that the Lord's brothers were there. Earlier, I believe it's in John chapter 7, for a time they did not believe in him. But now, they're right there with the Lord's other followers, including the apostles, and they are devoted to prayer. Now, the Lord would build his church in just a very short time, but while they were waiting, these early followers of the Lord, including the Lord's mother and the apostles, they were all together, they were devoted to prayer. Let's go down to verse 23. We will notice that the Lord's followers prayed when someone was chosen to replace Judas. You see, a weighty decision was being made. What did the disciples do? They prayed, and they showed great wisdom in doing so. Verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Of course, Matthias was the one who was chosen, according to verse 26. But the point I want to make is that the Lord's followers, before they made that very important decision, spent some time in prayer. Whenever we have decisions to make, we ought to pray. We ought to pray for wisdom, of course, as James teaches us. We ought to pray for God's will to be done. And we need to pray for grace that we will accept God's will. But the Lord's followers demonstrated great wisdom and good judgment when they spent time in prayer before making this very important decision. Now, when they did so, who were they imitating? They were imitating the Savior. He spent the entire night praying to God before he chose the apostles. Look at chapter 2, and let's read verse 42. Now, by this time, the church has experienced a great beginning. Gospel was preached in Pentecost in Jerusalem, or on Pentecost in Jerusalem. There was a great response. There were about 3,000 who obeyed the gospel on that day. You know, that's a large congregation that was formed just in a short amount of time. There had been 120 disciples, and now 3,000 obey the gospel in one day. That's a big congregation. Verse 42 is an important verse. And they, that is the members of the Jerusalem congregation, continued steadfastly. That means they gave constant attention to certain things. Four things are mentioned: the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. I want you to notice that from the beginning, members of the Lord's church continued steadfastly in prayers. They gave constant attention to prayer. We would do well to follow their example. Look at chapter 4. Let's read verses 23 and 24. By this time, persecution has started. Peter and John have been taken into custody. They were released from custody. And I want you to notice what the Lord's followers did. They prayed after Peter and John were released from custody. Chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. I won't take the time to read the entire prayer, but go down to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Well, that was a time for rejoicing. Peter and John had been taken into custody. They were released from custody. I want you to notice that the Lord's followers prayed on that very special occasion. Look at chapter 6, and let's read verse 4. This verse teaches us that the apostles were devoted to prayer. Now, as chapter 6 begins, we see that there were certain widows who were overlooked concerning the daily ministration. These ladies were in need, and their needs were being supplied to them, but certain widows were being overlooked. That caused some murmuring to begin. When the disciples The Lord's apostles found out about that. They handled it very wisely. They could have taken care of that problem themselves, but they had another work that the Lord had given them to do, that is to preach the gospel. So they chose 7 men to take care of that very important work. Now, why did the apostles seek to have someone else take care of that? Look at verse 4, chapter 6. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles understood how important it was that they spend much time in prayer. You see, the Lord had commanded them to preach the gospel to every creature. They had been doing a great job of that. They had reached many people. But they couldn't be taken away from their work to do this other work. Someone else could take care of that. And the apostles were very wise in that they knew what their work was. So they devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 of the same chapter teaches us that the apostles prayed when the 7 men were appointed to serve the Jerusalem church. There were 7 men selected to take care of this very important work. And when they were actually appointed, the apostles prayed. Verse 6. Now, verse 5 gives the names of those 7 men. Verse 6 says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Well, those 7 men were chosen to serve the Jerusalem congregation. And on that occasion, the apostles prayed. Now let's go to chapter 12 and look at one other occasion when the Lord's followers prayed. Let's go to chapter 12. And chapter 12 teaches us that persecution was becoming more intense. As chapter 12 begins, we find that King Herod took the life of James, who was the brother of John. Herod took Peter into custody. And it seems that his intention was to do the same thing to Peter that he had done to James. But he was going to wait until after Passover. Let's notice how the Lord's followers reacted to that. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's a wonderful statement. Peter was taken into custody. No doubt there was a lot of concern about his welfare because they saw what happened to James. So what did they do? They prayed. And I want you to notice that they prayed without ceasing. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, that is, Peter was released from prison. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Can't help but think that these people came together at Mary's home for the purpose of offering prayer on behalf of Peter. Well, that's a wonderful occasion when Christians came together to pray for a particular reason. Whenever I study about that, I remember many years ago, I believe it was 1974, Teresa's dad was serving as the minister of my home congregation in Jacksonville. He suffered a severe heart attack. And I remember that Sunday, the church came together and we prayed for that man. And that was one of the most meaningful services I've ever been a part of. Well, the Lord allowed him to go on for many more years after that. But here's a group of Christians who came together and prayed for a particular matter. And that was very meaningful. But you see, we have this great example of Christians doing that in the long ago. Peter was taken into custody. No doubt the people thought that King Herod would take his life as well. What did they do? They prayed. The Lord had additional work for Peter to do, so he was released from prison, and he went on and served the Lord faithfully. But the Christians in Jerusalem prayed for Peter. Well, we looked at some verses in the book of Luke, which teach us that the Lord prayed at various times, on many occasions, for different reasons, and under different circumstances. But Jesus always prayed. We looked at some verses in the book of Acts that teach us that the Lord's followers in the early church did the same thing. They faced a number of circumstances. They went through a number of different events and faced various occasions, but they always prayed. We would do well to follow their example. Now, we pretty much wrapped up the lesson in that song we were singing earlier, Did You Think to Pray? But there's a verse of scripture that I want us to consider as we conclude the lesson. It's Colossians 4 and verse 2. We need to remember this admonition, and we need to always practice it. Here the Apostle Paul wrote, Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's a good passage for us to remember and always practice.